Well, I don't know how many remember, but even though I had a very busy sort of time while I was away, I do remember leaving you with a task. I left you with homework before I left. I wanted you to be thinking about bias and how that affects how we see Scripture and how we read Scripture and how we even hear preaching at times. So I'm giving you a reminder. The homework's not due today. We'll talk about it another time. But we do want to talk about that and how it affects, and I will continue to think about it, that. And today we're talking about language, and that got me thinking about bias as well. And language, of course, as we read about it in the book of Acts. And of course, I've got to look up play on words. I've got a couple here. Three cats were racing to swim the English Channel. An American cat named 123. A German cat named Eins, Zwei, Drei. And a French cat named Un, Deux, Trois. At the finish line, the American cat came in first. The German cat came in second, but the French cat was nowhere to be found. Why? Because Un, Deux, Trois, Quatre, Cinq. You got to think about it. An Englishman, a Frenchman, and a Spaniard, and a German are in New York as tourists. They hear a street performer, but they can't see him. The performer steps back to try to give them a little better view. Can you see me now? None of them can, so they reply, no, 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 and nine. And the street performer gets up on a pedestal and asks, can you see me now? And this time they reply, yes, we see ya. Everybody heard something in their own language, I hope. It's a play on words, and I'm doing it intentionally, obviously, because we're talking about what happened a little bit in the book of Acts. There are quite a lot of languages being spoken, and I only stumbled over a couple of the countries that were listed in that long list. But we know this special event as the Day of Pentecost, and although many languages were spoken, everyone understood what was being conveyed that day, and that thing that was being conveyed, the important thing, was the gospel. And gospel is a word that means good news. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And I want to discover a little bit about that today. For it is in this hope and in this message that we are saved and changed forever. And before we begin talking a little bit more about that, let's bow our heads in prayer. Spirit of God, this is the time every Sunday when it's the real teaching is coming out, and we're listening for your voice, all of us, myself included. And it's difficult on Sunday mornings sometimes because, you know, we're in a rush to get things organized and get ourselves here, and there's maybe lots going on in our families and friends, and there's a great deal of activity there can be. Or conversely, Lord, we can be extremely tired. And this is the time when it's hard to concentrate because, you know, there's that, let's close our eyes for a moment and then off we go into a sailboat kind of launch in our brain. So, Lord, we pray right now that you will open our minds, wake us up, focus us so we can hear that which you have for us this day, this special day of Pentecost when your Spirit was poured out big time in the church. And we pray this now in Christ's name. Amen. Shavuot is the Hebrew word for today. It is known as the Feast of Weeks in English. It is known as Pentecost in Greek, and is a Jewish holiday that occurs on the sixth day of the Hebrew month of Sivan, which happens to be late May or early June because their calendar moves with the moon as opposed to ours that does not. Shavuot commemorates the anniversary of the day that God gave the Torah, or his word, law, to the entire nation of Israel assembled at Mount Sinai. Although the association between the giving of the Torah and Shavuot is not explicitly outlined in biblical text, it is a holiday that involves a bit of a pilgrimage back in their time. They all had to come to Jerusalem. And that's why everybody was gathered together, as it says in the book of Acts. They had all come to Jerusalem for the Festival of Weeks. They'd all come to celebrate the day that God gave the law, his word, the Ten Commandments to the people of God. It was Shavuot. It was Pentecost. Pentecost, also coming from the Greek, is, a festival of weeks. It's a number of days and weeks that are in the calendar. So in the Eastern Orthodox Church, It refers to the 50 days that occurred between Easter and this particular day, this holiday that comes up. So we have this word now that becomes part of our Christian faith, Pentecost. It's also known as White Sunday, and often people will wear white. I chose to wear red this day because for some calendars this represents the flames of God and the blood of Christ given in that day. So it's important to understand the context and why people were all sitting in the same place, as it says in the book of Acts, at the same day. There was a Jewish festival taking place, and this was one of those festivals. Everybody had to come to Jerusalem at some point for this festival. So people from all over the Roman world, the Mediterranean basin, had gathered during a period of time, probably a couple of weeks it took place, to worship in Jerusalem. So very crowded, people speaking all kinds of different languages, as we read the list from the book of Acts. And they were there doing what they were supposed to do and worshiping in the way that they were supposed to, but something took place. As it says in references briefly, and I misread that in the book of Acts, the bulk of the Jews in the time of Jesus did not speak Hebrew fluently, at least biblical Hebrew, and they certainly didn't likely read much of it. That was left for the part on the priest to do. Those gathered on that day of Pentecost or Shavuot were from all the European continent, as I said, the Roman world, and spoke whatever language they originated from. So even though they're Jewish faith and they worshipped as Jews, Hebrew was not part of their language. In fact, I went to a synagogue not quite a number of years ago now, as just part of my exploration and understandings when I was at Knox, different ways of doing services, and I asked my professor, instead of going to a different denomination, could I go to a Jewish worship service? And yeah, sure. And it was really it was a Reformed Jewish service. So again, we all think all Jews were like, if you're not Christian, everybody thinks all Christians worship the same, and we know they don't. If you're not Jewish, we think all Jews worship the same, and no, they don't. So there's Orthodox Jews. You might recognize those men have the long curly things coming down on big beards. Those are Orthodox Jews, and they worship a certain way. Reformed Jews tend to be much more relaxed about things, and in fact, this service was. And in that particular day, they had a guest speaker. It was a lady rabbi who was in speaking, and it was a special day just for they wanted to sing. And the service, like I said, it was like being here. It was like being in a service here in this church in so many ways. They read some scriptures, they sang some songs, and they had all been given out noisemakers of some kind. We had little eggs and things with beads in them and tambourines, and it was like being in a Pentecostal Jewish church. It was kind of odd, you know, in a way. And it was a lovely service. But during that service, because I like to read Hebrew, even though I don't know what I'm reading, they get out the Psalms. They're going to read with Psalm, and they're all going to read responsively as we do, or in unison. And so they're reading in Hebrew. Well, some of them were reading in Hebrew. In fact, almost none of them were reading in Hebrew. And I was sounding out some of the words that I can do, because I can sound the words out again, not knowing what I'm reading, just knowing what the sounds are. And the man standing beside me, you're pretty good at that. You're a new guy here and everything. Do you know what you're reading? I haven't got a clue. Well, I'll tell you, you're doing better than most of the people here. They can't even sound the words out. So, and included in that, they also had the English underneath. So service was somewhat partially in Hebrew and partly in English. So it was interesting to be a part of that service and see some of the common things that took place. One of the things, and I will digress slightly by saying, when we walk the scripture in here, process it down the center of the church, it represents for us as Presbyterians and in many other denominations do the same, God's word coming amongst people. And what they did at this particular Jewish service was they got out the Torah, so they got out, you know, that great big huge set of scrolls with the first five books, and they take it out of the case at the back up here, and then they walk it down, and the rabbi walks all around the people a couple of times, and as they do, people are reaching out to kiss it, because it's God's word surrounding them before they even begin their service. And the symbology there was just amazing to watch and experience, and I love that idea. Anyway, back to the point here. People were gathered for this holiday, and they even though they didn't know Hebrew, Hebrew might have been being spoken, but the point was there were many, many languages there. And people were from all over the place. They weren't, just because they were Jews, didn't mean they all understood Hebrew, I guess was the point I'm trying to make. In fact, probably they didn't. So trying to speak to a large crowd gathered at this point would be very, very difficult because, again, there could be a dozen different dialects of languages, let alone languages that were there. But everybody heard something common. Everybody heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And pause there for a minute. And I pause there intentionally because I want you to think, because I have had to do that in the last little while. In fact, I have to say, quite honestly, in the last couple of years, I have been asking myself, what is the gospel of Jesus Christ? We take it for granted, that phrase. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. What is it? What is it, to put it in words succinctly, that if I were standing in front of a crowd of people who all spoke different languages and God spoke through me and I said the gospel of Jesus Christ, they'd all hear something in their own language. They wouldn't just hear the phrase, the gospel of Jesus Christ. What would they hear that would make sense? Paul's dealing with a similar thing when he's writing to the Corinthians. And it took a long time for me to find this, because it was an obscure kind of a thing to try to word, especially when you're trying to do it on a computer. It's found in 1 Corinthians 15. And this is what Paul says right from verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which you are also being saved, if you hold firmly to the message I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. So there's his introduction. I'm going to remind you of something. I'm going to remind you of the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ that I first delivered to you, and you all became believers because of it. And here's what it is. 4 points. That Christ, I'm reading right from Corinthians again, that Christ died for our sins in accordance to the Scriptures. So point one of the good news of Jesus Christ is that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Point two, that he was buried. Pretty simple. That Christ died for our sins in accordance to the Scriptures, that he was buried. Third, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Point one, he died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And the fourth point, and that he appeared to Cephas, then the 12, then appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, although some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. So the fourth point of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that he appeared to people to be witnesses to him. So it wasn't just a story that somebody heard from somebody, from somebody, from somebody. Christ died for our sins, the wrongdoings in our life that separated us from God, according to the Scriptures. It was told in Scripture that this is what had to happen. That he was buried. And that on the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures, again, correlating directly with what had been prophesied. And then he appeared in person. Here's a list. That's the gospel message. Now, when I first put that together in that context for myself, this was about a year ago now I did that, and I actually have it at home. I've got it on a little piece of card that I printed, the 4 points. What strikes me the most about that is they mean nothing in one sense. They're just words. It's just language. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And then he appeared to a pile of people. This is the message for today, the day of Pentecost, the message of the church with a capital C, and it is the good news of Jesus Christ. This is the message that no matter what language it might be spoken in, over the years, over the thousands of years now, has caused debate, has caused death, has caused imprisonment, has caused families and friends to split. It is a message that has changed lives. It has healed the sick. It has freed people, and it has brought family and friends back together again. Those four simple terms mean nothing on their own, but there's something about them that causes upheaval, that causes change, that causes something great to happen. And it is because it is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ in our world. It's really difficult for me, I have to say quite honestly, to put into words the emotion for me behind this. Because this is what we believe as Christians in 4 points. And there's been volumes of things written over these last several thousand years. Volumes. Go in my office, you'll see some of them. Calvin in particular, volumes of things that he's written on what those 4 points are all about. Those things in China today will put you in jail. Speaking those 4 points publicly will put you in prison in China. Speaking those 4 points publicly on a street out here, people will laugh at you. Why? Who cares? It's just words. But they're the words of the message, the good news of Jesus Christ. That message is what was proclaimed at Pentecost. And it changed lives that day. And the power of God's Spirit was behind every single one of those words that was spoken. Simple words in so many ways, powerful in others. It's a message that we've come so accustomed to. That's the word I want. We've become so accustomed to hearing that we don't hear it anymore. I think that's why I've been saying for some months now, when I talk about bias and I talk about reading Scripture, try in prayer to get God's Spirit to open your heart and mind to read Scripture, in particular like Romans or Corinthians 15, as if you'd never heard it before, as if it's the first time you're hearing it. Put away all of the things that you have supposed about these things, the messages that you've been hearing for decades now, in many cases, and try to hear it for the first time. How is it moving you? We must never lose the wonder of the words of the gospel of Jesus Christ in our hearts and minds. For in this hope we were saved. And there's a song I want to read the lyrics to you in closing to this, written by Paul Stuckey back in 77. And it's a song that I love the guitar work on it, but it's not just the guitar work in particular. It's the concept, because we have a live recording of him introducing this song, and he talks about this wonder of God at work and the wonder of the good news of Jesus Christ in our lives. The wounded warrior turns his head on the ground where he had fallen to feel the cool dirt on his cheek and to hear the young girl calling, "My God," he cried, "I cannot see." The girl ran from the forest. Better it would have been to die than to live a life of darkness. And the tears of that young girl cried over her fallen lovers, they cleansed his eyes that he might heal, and so he did recover. Isn't this the way God works his miracles? A blinded soldier given back his sight. Now a scientist may tell you how night turns into day, but he can never take the wonder away. In the cool white light of an office behind a security guard, a computer supplies suggestions to improve the credit card. The new card would be issued at the time of birth, and the credit potential would be determined for everyone on Earth. And as for ease of identification, though there's some aversion now, the credit number will be tattooed on the wrist or on the brow. And so we build a beast revealed by miracles. As time unfolds, the prophet's dreams, remember what they say about coincidence, life is always more than what it seems. In the final moments of the sunny afternoon around a post, the guards are rolling bones. 20 feet above them hangs a miracle. Greater love no man has ever known. Then suddenly a cloud appears, darkening the sun. The thunder rolls and a question leaps to the minds of everyone. Isn't this the way God works his miracles? A sign of love for all the world to see. And like those tears of healing, the Spirit is revealing that Jesus gave his life for you and me. The wonder of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today I pray that it can just fill us again and renew us, just as it did in Pentecost. Fill us with something exciting again. It's not just the boring old story of that Jesus died thing, but it's that Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again after 3 days. He showed himself to over 500 people. Proof that he was alive again. Proof that he'd conquered death. Proof that this world was no longer the same. The wonder of the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Holy Spirit was sent to increase our compassion and to make us glad to spread that good news by caring for others in need. And may we enter into this discipline of giving to work for the Holy Spirit as the Spirit moves us. Now it's time for our offering and our tithes.